Okay, so we're live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Health and Wellness Series podcast hosted by Kenneth. And today we have such a special guest, right? A human resource professional, and he's going to be talking to us about recruitment in Canada. Like, I've heard so much about like people trying to get jobs in Canada and everything, and he's going to walk us through it, right? We have a lot of questions for him, and I know you all also have a lot of questions for him. So let's welcome to the stage, Braden. Welcome, Braden. How are you doing?
I'm doing mighty fine. You know, I appreciate you having me on. You originally asked me, and I got that little like that nervousness. Like, I was a little, like, I was excited, and I was nervous. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, you did a great job relaxing me towards it and, you know, going it over it. I feel like, a lot better, but, like, now I'm excited. That nervousness is a feeling, but I'm excited.
You got it. Right? You got it. We're just going to have a conversation, right?
Absolutely.
It's something that comes naturally to you, so I'm sure you're going to do well, right?
Yes. I do it for a living.
Yeah. Yeah. So Braden, do you know, just tell us a bit about yourself, how you stumbled into human resources and everything. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so little introduction. So for education wise, I went to both St. Clair College and the University of Windsor. I did a 3-year program. I transferred over. But a lot of that originally when I was looking to go to post-secondary, when I was looking to see what I wanted to do, I was working at a grocery store here in Kingsville, Ontario. And when I was talking to people, I was like, they're like, what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, I don't know. Like, right. Like out of high school, I don't know what I want to do. But at that time I was training people. I was reading over some of the policies. I was meeting, I was kind of like lightly scheduling and doing a lot of training with when it came to people. And we had a gentleman come in the one day, he was retired. He's like, you know, that sounds like you might enjoy some like human resources, you know, the conversations with people, the customer service aspect to it. You know, you like policies and rules and procedures and you will enforce them. You're great with people and you've always helped with hiring and training. I'm like, that seems like it's right up your alley. And I was like, HR, and I thought of this like little stigma you always hear when it comes to HR people, right? And I was like, you know, I kind of want people to like me. So my hesitation, but the more I got into it, the more I was talking to people, and that kind of sparked my interest. And then I started hearing about all the negative things that human resources does. And I've always wanted to like do it better, right? Do it right. Like not revitalize all of it, but just kind of like get rid of that stigma that, you know, human resources doesn't have to be the bad guy. We're not always going to be your friend, but like, I don't want to be the bad guy and see if I can help out as much as possible. So that's why I ended up by going into human resources.
Amazing. What a journey. Like, it just,
yes,
just seems like your interest just intersected with what was in demand, right? Like what you naturally loved, right? Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today we're talking about Canadian recruitment. We're talking about how to stand out in the marketplace, what recruiters look for, right? Just give us like an overview of like the recruitment process and what it's like on a day-to-day basis, like you're looking for that ideal candidate for your company, like what do you look out for?
I guess it really depends on the sector itself. So I am a part of the IT industry. The IT has its own niche things to it, automotive, agricultural, customer service, everything has their little niche to it.
Yeah.
The big thing that overall, there's the trends and the demographics that come out. I was at a conference the other day and they said, understanding technology, understand the advancements, because we're growing so fast as a species and we're learning and we're getting so ahead of ourselves that, you know, technology is growing. You always hear about the use of AI and things like that coming up and stuff like that. And when I was at a conference, both here on Thursday and Friday at the Center for the Arts, they talked about technology and the advancements and how, you know, AI is going to kind of take some things away, but it's going to open up a whole lot of new doors. And you always hear on the news, you see companies, you know, training, stuff like that. Like everything is automated. Everything is the AI aspect to it. So it's just understanding a lot of that, the new technology. That and on the other side, on the other side of it, they're projecting a lot when it comes to skilled trades. Mm-hmm. So that's another sector that is really kind of in demand and getting, because a lot of the older generations made up a big portion of the workforce. And as they start to retire, there's a lot of those skilled trades. You're talking your millwrights, your pipe fitters, and even mm-hmm. stuff like just general Lumber. Laborers. Mm-hmm. A little bit of specialization. Mm-hmm. Skilled trades, if you want to narrow in on that one for a little, is a lot when it comes to, you know, getting your tickets, your journeymans, your apprenticeships, and all things like that. That getting those skills for the skilled trades, to me, would be something employers are going to do, because regardless, there's always going to be work in those sectors.
Yeah.
And I guess that would just be like a little touch. It's industry specific, but the two big ones that I always tell people if they're going to pick stuff up is pick up technology, especially the use of AI. If not, pick it up trade specifics, and there's lots of trades out there, and picking those specific skills, because that's what people are looking for, is the capabilities for someone to do the job, you as a person as well, but the capabilities of the job itself are important.
Interesting. So like, I think this just keys into my next question, like what sectors are like experiencing growth right now in recruitment? What sectors would you say like are experiencing a lot of growth and are looking for a lot of people, especially here in Canada?
So I live down here in Windsor Essex County, so I can only speak a little bit to this area. Everywhere has those things, but here in Windsor Essex County, we are automotive, especially with the new battery plant coming in. Like, it is a massive undertaking, and you see license plates from across Calgary, UC Alberta, sure. UC Michigan. I've seen California. I've seen Tennessee roll inside of there, and that's just pulling in that label for it. And even afterwards, keeping that plant operating, keeping that plant running. I know there's the big push here for automotive. Here, like, trades is going to be a big one because we have the Gordie Howe, and there's all the maintenance on the Gordie Howe, that international bridge, the battery plant with all the skills.
So because we have an international audience, okay, they might not know what Gordie Howe is. So Gordie Howe is like the...
Yes. My apologies, international. Here I am, such a small scope. So Gordie Howe would be the second bridge that we have down here. We have the Ambassador Bridge, which connects Detroit, Michigan, from the United States to here in Windsor Essex County. So,
yep.
And there's a second bridge that's going to be crossing over into the States, and they named it the Gordie Howe. I believe it is first or a second. It's one of the largest suspension, big, massive undertaking engineering project. So that's another one too. So I guess less so the automotive is very a Windsor Essex specific one. So I'll speak more when it comes to the international side. Technology and technological trends, to me, would be the biggest one. There's a lot coming out. There's a lot that's emerging. And it's, you know, you always see the news and the topics coming up all the time, like new technology, new development, new interest, new sector opened because of this, right?
Yeah.
So that would be, again, the use of technology, the AI aspect to it. That to me would be the biggest part, right? Especially now, more people, more cell phones. I guess, like, because, you know, we see it all the time. There's always this new app, this new gizmo, the new model really comes out, and there's just innovation on innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess keep it up on the innovations and that kind of technological aspect to it. A lot of IT.
Amazing. So, like, you've mentioned a lot of automotive jobs, and it requires a lot of technical skills. So would you say, apart from the technical skills, what other desirable skills do recruiters look out for?
So from the recruiting process, for me, it's someone, I know we're going to go over probably the recruiting aspect of it a little bit later, so I won't speak too deep into it, but a good level of engagement, right? If we're doing an interview, and I'm interviewing you for something, and I'm asking you questions, and you're giving me like you're answering the questions, but you're not giving me a lot. Like, I'm asking, hey, like, do you have anything for me? And you're like, you know what? No, I'm good. Like, there's a time and place for that, but like, asking questions like, so what is the process?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are on my team? What's the rotation like? Just a little bit of engagement inside of there is, because you want to seem like someone's actively listening, paying attention, because those are the types of people who are going to ask questions. Mm. And for me, I tell people all the time, if you have anything, ask questions, right? Ask me. I want that engagement. I want that flow of communication. So for me, like, it going in, being interested, having that sense of just wanting, and a lot of initiative for me would be one of the more like softer skills, less the technical one, more of the interpersonal one, and that is communication. You know, you hear it all the time. I got to go back on it all the time. Communication is the big one, right? Having that ability to get your point across, right? Just it's having that end goal of like, this is what I'm trying to make you think, right? If you can, if something goes wrong in a situation and, you know, you don't want to be panicking or something, whatever it is, whatever point I'm trying to get across to you, you have to understand my intentions, because there's a lot that gets lost in that translation and a conversation. Yeah. So having that good communication skill so that the other person isn't guessing at what you're trying to say, and that they really know what you're trying to say because you're telling them.
Interesting. That's very insightful, because like, because I get a lot of questions from people that say, oh, I attended this interview and I didn't hear back from the recruiter, or I didn't hear back from the hiring manager. So probably this could be one of the reasons you were not engaging enough, or like your communication skills were not like top notch or stuff like that. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, thank you for that. So I think let's just jump right into like the resume and interview process, right? Let's go deeper into the resume and interview process. Yeah, so what would you say makes a resume stand out? Like, so like, of course, I know you like, you get a lot of resumes and like people submit their resumes to a particular job. So what would you say makes a resume stand out?
So for me, I'm not a custom tailor, not like cover levels of custom tailored. But for me, I tell people, don't just have one resume. Don't just have one. Have a couple different ones. If, for example, you're applying for a position that's very communication and customer service oriented, if your resume is tailored to the service and the field that you're trying to apply for, as a recruiter, I show more interest in it because this resume was almost built for me, right? So I work in the IT field. So if I'm reading a resume and someone's like, and I need someone who's high technical skill, lots of computing, lots of machinery, and on your resume, I'm reading customer service and a lot of like those interpersonal skills. I'm like, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm looking for. And I could get his exact same resume for what I'm actually doing. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm good with hardware, good with computers. I built and I fixed these things. For me, it's feeling like the resume is targeted for me. Right. So if I'm looking for someone in customer service, the same person can apply for both positions with two different resumes. And I might see them as qualified for two separate positions. Right, it's the same person, same job, same experience, but just the way you put it on a resume for me is different. I just want to read a resume and be like, yes, like this person has one thing in mind, and it's exactly what I'm looking for, and it's that custom tailored aspect.
That's a very interesting point. Yeah. So how would you advise people to tailor or custom make their resume?
Okay, so when it comes to, if you, for example, I'll use something like someone who works in a warehouse. So the general parts of a warehouse, or shipping and receiving part of it, right? There's paperwork, documentation, and then there's the organizational aspect. There's the dealing of machinery, and then there's the scheduling and planning. So each of those could be different. So for example, if I really want to highlight, you know, the paperwork skills, I would write about, you know, the administrative tasks, the billing, the filing, the quote generations, if it's something you do, and the organization aspect of it. It's really just taking your job and looking at it through a different lens. So if it's the organization aspect of it, you could be like, you know, you could still use the administration, like, I file administration. I'm like, well, that's an organization trait. It's, you know, if I have to stack things inside of a truck, it's the pre-planning aspect of making sure that the goods get on in a certain fashion, taking goods off and organizing them accordingly to company policies. Like that's, you're still doing a bit of administration and stuff like that, but now you're looking at it through a more like you're trying to highlight your organizational skills. So for me, it would be, like when you look at your resume and you look at, because you always have, for most resumes I see at least, it's the job and then it's a couple things about the jobs. So take those sentences, and hopefully they're sentences and not just like 3-word bullets, because that doesn't help you at all. Like, at least put a sentence on it. That would be another recommendation. That's a side point. But if you're going to have those bullet points, take a look at that bullet point and think about how you do it as a job, and then be like, okay, how can I make this look like an administrative task? And then you go to the next point, and you're like, okay, so like, I'm trying to apply for an administrative position, like office and things like that. Like, how can I highlight that this was something I did in an office? I learned this in an office setting, right? Versus the manufacturing aspect of it is, how can I tweak this to look more technical, to sound more technical, to make it look like I have a high knowledge basis on this? So I'd be taking that sentence and then just putting on like a different set of glasses to look at it through a different set of lenses.
Insightful. That's really helpful. So just a quick question. So like, when going through a resume, like, what's the role of AI or like machines in like sorting out resumes? Like, do they like, because I feel, I don't know how true, because it's not my industry, right? But is it true that like, there's like AI that sorts out resume, or like how does that work?
So it goes on both sides. So I know you first started with like getting resumes built by AI.
Yeah.
You can tell, right? People aren't perfect. People have a writing style. Like, even how you write is very unique to how you speak. And a lot of the AI, it pulls from the internet, it pulls from the databases, it pulls from everything that's already on the internet, and it formulates it. So it seems very generic. It seems very bland. And you can use it as a template. Don't get me wrong. I would say, for if you don't know where to start, get a like a ChatGPT or something along those lines to build you one, and then personalize it. Use it as like a jumping off point, as a template. That would be my recommendation for using AI. Absolutely. It's a tool out there. Use it. Because that's a way for me. I can see that using as a tool for good, versus the second part of your question, the employer aspect of it, using AI. So I do not use any AI software. Sorry about that. I don't use AI software. Me, every single resume I get in, I read top to bottom.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's a lot of work.
If I get like 200 so odd applications, which I've gotten on a couple of job postings, I'm reading your resumes one by one, right? Because I want to see the nuances, I want to see the details, I want to get a feel for you as a person. When it comes to some of, like, we can all remember talking about Indeed. Indeed is a big one too, where they have like targeting aspects of it, where you can look in and pull out certain points, right? You know, the skills and the testings, and they'll automatically like disqualify you if you're within a certain geographic range out of there, or, you know, your resume doesn't hit so many keywords that they're looking for. Because if I'm doing a job posting and I need like university, technical, education, everything's like that, and your resume speaks of none of it, then you can get filed away. Right? And there's that digital aspect of it feeling less personal, because you've had a computer sort through a whole bunch of things. I'm big on keeping, you know, the human aspect and human resources. you know, I personally have stake in the matter, but yeah, I'm not a big fan. It does happen, but I guess it would, if you're going to a smaller business and you want a custom tailor or you something like that, if you have a feeling like when you're applying that this place, you know, seems very generated, seems very like, there's a lot of agents working in the background, and that techno, like the AI feels like there's like the AI controller behind it. Target those key points, target those keywords. Usually a lot of the keywords in the job description are going to be what the back end is processing. So if it's like in the job posting, it says requires a high level of technical skill.
Okay.
And your resume says I possess a high level of technical skill. There's a better chance that what's on your resume will match what's on the back end of their system. So that would be mine. If you feel like the place you're applying to is just shuffling you out, just target the keywords inside of a job description, some of like the big points, and that might. And I can't guarantee it helping, right? I can't promise that.
Yeah.
But you might see a bit of a difference when it comes to getting a little further in, because now you'll be reviewed by a person. You hit 80% of what they're looking for, and now someone's going to come and take a look.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. Makes sense. So just as an aside, so someone sees a job posting online, probably on LinkedIn or Indeed, and wants to apply for that job, wants to apply for the role. What's your take on reaching out to people within the company, asking about the company? What would you advise someone like that to first do in like applying for that kind of job?
So first thing I would do, even before you apply for anything, is that take a look at the company you're applying at. Yeah, most companies nowadays, especially, at most companies, if not all companies, have a website. They have a social media page. They have a blog post. So go on there and get a feel for the company, because that might, entice you or dissuade you from applying first thing. So that'd be the first thing to do. Look, and then while you're looking on there, if you do want to reach out and you do want to try and connect with someone inside, some of them have about pages. Some of them have like forms you can fill out to submit requests. Some of them have like a list of people. Like, hi, like this is the HR person. This is the CEO. This is our communications manager, right? So that would be, if you're going to reach out to a company, which some companies like it, some companies don't. That's just, you never know, right? Because you never know who's on the back end. But if you're going to reach out, make sure you're reaching out to the right people. If you're trying to like talk to someone about events or stuff like that, try like contact the event coordinator. Human resources is always one on there too. The abouts and the form pages would be like a good starting point for trying to reach out to the company if you wanted to do that ahead of time. If not, I would just look at the job posting, look at the company website, get a feel for it. And usually there's no shame, depending on it, of if you can, depending on the business, walk in there and say hi. Ask about, like, because depending on where you're in, like if it's a jewelry shop you're applying to, we'll keep it a little small, less big business and more on the small side. Walk into a jewelry shop, go talk to the jeweler, have a quick conversation with them, get for feeling as them as a people. Right? You can tell a lot about a company. Personally, I find this. You can tell a lot about a company off of if you walk into the office and how do you feel when you walk into their establishment. Right? If you walk into a place and you're like, ooh, this place feels cold. This place feels like I'm being judged immediately when I walked in. I'm like, do I really want to apply here? Like you walk up to the front desk and no one's there to greet you, no one's there to help. People are like pushing, like say for example, people are walking by and you get bumped into by a couple of different people, right? Like even before you start talking to people, walk into a place and be like, does this place like make me feel warm and fuzzy? Or does this make me this place be like, this place kind of like, I don't like this too much, right? And that'd be another recommendation if available, right? If you can walk into a place, right? Because here where I work, you walk in, it's a big open area. We have a reception right in the front. We greet you at the door, hi, and then, hey, how can we help you? We have like that interactions, and we've had people who've come in for interviews say like, I had to wait like 10 minutes for my interview, and three different people came and said hi to me. Ask me what I was applying for. Ask me how I was doing. Right? And like, I didn't even know these people. And people came in, and we've had people that we onboarded afterwards say this, where, they were so excited to continue with the interview process and applying for the company because when they walked into the office, they felt greeted. They felt like they were a person. So that would be, it's kind of closely related. I find myself wavering sometimes from the questions you're asking, but like trying to keep it relatively on topic. But that would be another thing too, or like walk in there, have a conversation, go and say hi. And if not, do the forms online. Those would be my two.
Interesting. Thank you for that. So like now because we are talking about the interview process right now, right? And so what do recruiters look out for? Like, so you invite this candidate for an interview, right? He successfully passed through
The initial screening.
The initial screening, the pre-screening and all. So you're having an interview with this candidate, right? Like, and you have a bunch of them lined up. What are you looking out for in these candidates? Like, what are the like let's say the top five so that people can relate with it. What are the top five things you're looking out for?
For me, I'm a big fan of a good solid handshake. like right off the bat. So if for example, I walk in, I go to greet you and you walk up and your hand's out there before I can even get mine, that's that level of initiative. That's that high, like, hi, nice to meet you. That eye contact, it's confidence. Right? That confident aspect that you don't know who I am, but I've walked up to you. I have a little authority. I have a position. I'm the one who gets to decide whether you have a job or not. And you confidently stand up, walk over to me and shake my hand. I'm like, I have the confidence. That would be one of the big things. Communication. In an interview, don't feel bad about stumbling. Don't feel bad about taking a couple of seconds to answer a question. And this is a trait that I love in people. If I ask a question and you go, that's a good one. Can you give me a second? I want to think of something. And then you take like 4 or 5 seconds to think of an answer and then give your answer. I'm like, well, cool. I would rather you take a couple seconds and then answer well than start stumbling over your tongue trying to get the words out as fast as possible. And even just because kind of the confidence of the communication aspect. Yeah. If I ask you a question and you don't know, don't lie to me. Don't lie. Honesty. Third biggest bullet point, honesty. Because if I ask a question about a certain process, I know as the recruiter what the process is. So if you start, you know, making things up or you start trying to connect points that don't exist, I as the recruiter am going to know that you have
no idea what
you're talking about. And you're caught. Exactly. But if I say, hey, do you quite know what this process is? And you're like, I'm not too sure. Could you, you know, explain it to me? Like, give me a bit of a detail and then answer the question. Or even admitting, I personally wouldn't know. I would like to look into that further. Could you tell me a little bit about it? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't know. Having that, being humble, being able to not lie, having that integrity to go, you know what? I don't know what this is. I'm sorry. Could you explain it to me? Because for me, that's someone who's, for example, if I come to you and I'm training you and I say, hey, do you understand what you're do after I taught you? And you go, yes. But in the back of your head, you're like, I have absolutely no idea, right? I know that those people, that when they say, hey, I'm good, I know they're being honest with me. And when they say, you know what? And they'll be the type of people to ask for more help. I love it when people ask for help. Because I would rather me take 10, 15 seconds, show you how to do it right, than have to spend a half hour trying to fix your mistake.
Yeah.
And that those for me is a lot of those soft skills. Your knowledge and understanding will show just in that communication aspect. But for me, it's really the soft skills that people have that stand out. It's the confidence. It's the strong communication. It's the good eye contact. It's the integrity. It's the honesty when you speak. Admitting when it's not going on more than you need to. But just giving a good answer, getting to the point, admitting when you don't know something, and then asking questions too. And probably as a final point, just because this is more for like a thing to do. If a recruiter asks you if you have questions, I don't care what you're asking me a question. Ask me anything, right? Because an interview is really two ways. As much as I'm interviewing you, you should also be interviewing me.
For sure.
Right? Because at this point, if I just find out everything about you and you find out, like, that's not a great relationship, right? Because then when you come in, you'll be like, oh, I didn't know this is what I signed up for. But if you started asking questions, you're like, you know, how many people do you have? You know, what's the office setting like? Even just small questions. What's my day-to-day? You know, what's parking like? How's traffic on the way in? Like, even small things like that to spark a conversation is...
So for me, I think a lot of people don't like asking questions because they don't want to ask the wrong questions. They don't want to ask questions that will cause like the recruiter to judge you and judge you wrongly, right?
If you have a question that you think, so I like to have a little bit more fun. I'm also a bit on the younger side too, so I don't think the interview process should be the stiff lip, big old board kind of reading. I want to find out who you are as a person. There's no such things as stupid questions. Don't ask questions about what was in the interview. Be like, you can ask people to elaborate and stuff like that, but just getting that, it's showing the engagement. It's showing that you're invested a little bit more. There's no bad questions. And like, even if you want to just get a list of a good couple of questions, I love hearing, you know, what's the culture like? how big is the team that I'm going to be working with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is there after hours activities? Like, how engaged is the staff?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, those types of questions are another types of things you'll go through in the normal interview process. So just asking those after the fact to get more of a general sense of feeling for the company and the culture that you'll be a part of, to me, is great questions. I love getting those questions because I love sparking that little conversation. So at the end of every interview, if they say, is there anything you have for me? Ask away.
Ask away.
Because even if your first question is kind of like, you're like, oopsies, whatever it is, as I start talking, you can ask more than one question too. It's not a one and done, right? It can become almost like we're doing right now, making it a part of a conversation, yeah. Right? You know, you ask me a question, I'm giving you an answer, and mm-hmm. then you're like, midway through, you said this, so I got a question on this, and then next thing you know, we're just having this conversation. It stops feeling like an interview, and it feels more like you're just having coffee with someone over a table, right?
Yeah.
It's that personal, and that's for the interview process itself, specifically the in-person interview. That's how I would recommend it. Online, actually, I'm glad I thought of the difference, because there's the in-person ones and then these are the online ones.
Yeah, I was going to come to that, yeah.
The online ones, oh boy, I'm not a fan. I don't like it. They feel so impersonal, right? Because a lot of those things too.
Like, I can just tell that you like the real in-person type of thing.
Yes, I like the in-person one. Like, I guess for the online one, it's hard too. A lot of the same things do apply. True. Like when it comes to like the honesty, admitting when you don't know stuff, whatever it is, and even like, you know, when you're doing camera stuff like this, like I've cleaned up as much as possible. There's still a lot of stuff behind me. So like, I was nervous going into this, you know, like, ooh, my house is a bit of a mess. How's my hair? Like, is the camera quality going to be good? Like, do I look ugly right now? Right? Those ones. And that to me is like a lot of those worries with the online one.
Yeah.
As literally as I say, like, dress like you would for an in-person.
Yeah.
Treat it along the same lines and really let your personality shine through. Don't treat it like you're looking at a computer screen. Picture the person actually there and keep it as personable as possible.
Wow, this has really been engaging. Hi, everyone. Once again, this is the Health and Wellness Podcast Series. Right now, we are having a conversation with a human resource professional, Braden Dufour, and he's just walking us through HR intricacies, talking to us about how to stand out in doing an interview, how your resume can stand out. It has been an interesting conversation. So, Braden, have a follow-up question to that. So, like, during an interview, like, how do recruiters, like, assess people for a cultural fit? Like, how do they know, like, what kind of questions do they ask you to just kind of gauge or to kind of feel that you're a cultural fit for the organization?
Okay. The cultural fit, so every company has their own culture. Just like every person has their own different personality, every company has their own personality to it. The cultural fit one is always, it's a bit harder, and I'll explain where my disconnect for this one is because you might be applying to a place where the mindset and the culture is, you know, keep your head down, focus in, don't do anything else. And there also might be a culture where you walk in, and, you know, people are chatting. There's a lot of conversation. There's a ping pong tournament. They have a dartboard for some reason, right? You can have lunchrooms that have, you know, pictures and a bit of color and stuff like that. And you might have other ones where it looks almost like a high school cafeteria mixed with a prison, all lined up after another, right? So the culture for different places, it truly would depend on, you know, not – actually, this is perfect for referencing previous points. Looking at the company website, how active are they in the community? You can get a feel for people, and even just, like I said again, walking into the place of business, getting a feel for it. Like, if you feel like, you know, you're looking for something a little quieter, you're looking for something a little bit more like, I should put my head down. Like, you can get a feeling from when you're talking to people, from the work, and even just reaching out company events. If you're like, you never see company events, you never see people do anything, that's not true for every company because not everybody post things like that. But if you see not a lot of engagement, it kind of seems like a quieter place. You know, it's about like, you know, matching the vibe. You don't want to be like 10 level of excitement when everyone else is pulling themselves another 2 on a Monday, right? And it's really just allowing yourself to be a chameleon to a certain extent. You know, when you get in there, it's matching the energy that's being given to you. If the recruiter comes up and they're like, you know, pleasure to meet you, I'm happy to see you here, let's get going. Like, give that same level of energy back, right? But if they come in very professional and they're like, you know what, you know, I appreciate you coming in, thank you very much. They have that deeper tone of voice for some reason, very singular, one strong handshake. Like, match that energy. Like, when I'm doing interviews, I'm a little bit more personal now, but like during interviews, I will sit up a little bit more. I'll keep it a bit more on the professional side, shoulders back a little bit more. And I like when people match me, but as soon as I start relaxing and they relax with me, I'm like, okay, yeah, like they can do both. If we have to be serious, we can be serious. If we want to be a little bit laid back and have a little bit of fun in that conversation aspect and they're relaxing, like to me, it's matching that energy. It's getting a feel for the people. Right? Management is always a reflection of the workforce, and the workforce is the reflection of management. So if you have, you know...
So can you say that again?
So management is a reflection of the workforce, as the workforce is a reflection of management. For the most part, that's how I see it. Like, a happy, good, honest management will give a happy, good, honest workforce. When it comes to... spiteful, angry, a little deceiving management will breed the same thing for the employees. So for the culture wise, when you're doing the interview with the management, if management is friendly, if management is nice, if it seems like they're being genuine, match that energy. Be almost like them too. Show them who you can be in the workspace, right? Because this night, when you get home, be who you are when you're home. After the clock, after the hours, relax, kick your feet up, have a drink, eat some, you know, overly sugary processed and snacks and overly processed food. Like, do all that stuff. But at the workplace, show that you can match the energy that has been created there.
Yeah.
That to me would be the aspect when it comes to the cultural fit, right? Is reflecting what management is giving you, because most of the time you're going to see management, and getting the feel for that.
Nice. Wow, such an interesting conversation. Wow, because I'm also learning, because like I get a lot of questions, especially for newcomers in Canada, and like it's quite tough out there, right? Trying to get a job, right? And they just ask me, how do I go about this? How do I apply to so many roles? No one is calling me back. Nothing. I'm not hearing anything. Or I do interviews, and no one is like, I'm not getting the job. So, like, I feel for them. So that's one of the things that led to this interview, like this conversation I'm having with you, because I know I'm going to help them, right, from this, like, insights that you're dropping, and this, like, this knowledge that you're sharing. I'm sure definitely a lot of people are going to benefit from it. So I would like to ask you this question. So how would you advise someone like, For example, a person is a newcomer to Canada, right? He just came in maybe 2 weeks ago. And obviously, the bills are running. He needs to start paying bills. So he needs a job, right? And I said I was going to ask you, Canadian experience, right? So people, for newcomers, they come in and they ask, oh, Canadian, you don't have Canadian experience, or we can't give you this role, you don't have Canadian experience. And I'm like, but I can do this job, right? How would you advise such a person to be able to convince like a recruiter to take a chance on them?
Yeah, I would even that there's two points to that. And to me, like, experience is experience. You've done the job. If you've done, like, administration is administration, regardless of where you're at, how you do the administration, but the soft skills exist. And I guess that to me would be the big thing, is highlight your soft skills, highlight your knowledge and your ability. Don't rely on the amount of years in a position. Show your soft skills, right? Because it's one thing for me to sit here and tell you that, you know, I'm good at administration and I'm good at this, but if I can highlight through my speak, how my examples, my talking to you, that, you know, my experience might not be as different as you think it is, right? Because, like, I know what automotive looks like in Canada, but I don't know what automotive looks like in the United States or Mexico or overseas, right? So I have a scope of, like, I know what Chrysler looks like because that's the local one we have here. I know what it looks like. I know what the people are like. So I don't know. I don't have experiences from around the world. And a recruiter might get into that habit of, you know, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. Right? Like, if it's not within my scope, my wheelhouse, my understanding, then, you know, I don't want to hear about it. So I would highlight your soft skills, highlight your technical ability. As you're given examples, explain how you know things, what you know. If you were a machine operator overseas and you want to apply for a machine operating position here, while you're communicating, while you're giving me those examples, let me know. Impress me with what you know. So it's one thing to say, yes, I have seven years of experience from France. Like, I have seven years of experience from France. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. But say, you know, I operated this machinery, I dealt with this hardware systems, these were the timelines and the timetables I was working with. This is all the things that I did. Well, like, oh, I can relate to that, right? I can't relate to what it's like in France, but I can relate to your experiences. I can relate to your storytelling. And that, I wouldn't just go to a recruiter and say, hi, my experience is 7 years. Please take my 7 years experience, because they're just going to shut down and be like, I don't want to do this. But highlight how you know things. Prove them through your examples and how you're answering questions that your experience is just as valid as Canadian experience. Because I know what I'm talking about. You ask me what I know during the interview process, and I'm letting you know. Like, you just let me know through it. And on the other side, if they don't want to listen to it, if they're so struck on it, then to me, that's not a place that I would want to work at. If they're going to describe what you did before, then how are they going to treat you when you're in? Right? If you have 7 years experience and I'm going to treat you like you have nothing and hire you in with zero experience, it's because I want to pay you this amount of money. Because if I don't look at your previous experience, it's something I can give you a whole lot less money for. Right? If it's like, well, you know, this is we'll treat you like you're an entry level because you might have all of this experience. You might have all of this all knowledge and information. But when you come in, if I can give you, you know, our minimum wage, because, you know, in my eyes, your experience doesn't matter. That to me is just not a place I would want to work at all.
Yeah.
Right. It's one of those silver linings when it comes to it, is like, if a place isn't going to believe you, if a place isn't going to trust you, if a place doesn't want to give a chance on you, then they're not going to they're more than likely not going to treat you that great when you're in. But if you do want to impress them, highlight those soft skills. I can't stress this enough. Highlight those skills.
Story. Another thing I got out from what you just said is storytelling. Just tell them about how you know the things that you know.
And it's about. Not like, no, and also, like, I don't want to hear about your childhood, like those types of things. Like, when I tell you, tell me a little bit about yourself. I don't want to be like, so I was born this year and I did, like, I don't want to hear about that. Like, not that level of storytelling. Like, that can come further down the line if you ever get onboarded. But through your experiences, tell a story. Like, when you started at the workplace, what did you know? What did you pick up? What did you learn? What did you teach and impose to others? That kind of storytelling. Tell the story of your progress in the workspace. Where you started, what you learned, and what you're looking to impose on others, and even what you're wanting to learn more afterwards, right? You know, come in there and be like, this is what I have, this is what I've learned, this is all the things I do. Like, tell that level of story. And don't have the end of your story be the ending. Have it be so that you have another page that you're ready to start writing on. My story's not done. I'm still looking to tell a little bit more, and this is the next chapter of my life.
Wow, that's so good. That's so good. It sounded like a preacher now.
Yeah.
That's so good. Amazing. Okay. Wow, I've learned so much already. Thank you. So, I know I'm asking you a lot of questions because this.
Honestly, I love this. I love doing this all the time. I love hearing like, "Oh, you work in human resources? I got a question for you." I'm like, "Hit me with it." And you know, my girlfriend will be at a grocery store, and like, I'll hear overhear someone. I'll have a conversation. She's like, "I'm just trying to buy milk for dinner. Let's go." Like, I don't like. I love being asked questions. There's about a times that I've gotten stuck in a grocery store, and someone's asking me questions, and she's just gone shopping without me. At the very end, she goes, "Okay, we're ready to go." I'm like, "Okay, I gotta keep shopping." She's like, no, I already bought the groceries. They're in the car." I'm like, "Sorry." So I love this. I love this so much.
Yeah, amazing. It just shows your heart that you're just willing to help, and you're just willing to just know that your the next person is doing better, right? So my question would be, what advice would you give someone? So, for example, the person is out in another country, trying to look for a role in maybe Canada. Yeah, trying to look for a job in Canada. How would you advise the person to go about it?
Okay, so I think even before you move to Canada, look at the job markets. Look at where they're hiring in that area. If, for example, you have a lot I'll use landscaping as an example. You have a lot of landscaping, but you want to do landscaping in Toronto. Well, there might not be a lot of landscapers in Toronto because there's not a lot of greenery. It's a concrete jungle. Versus if you go to some of the surrounding areas, they'll be like, yeah, there's probably a couple of lawn care services. If you're going to move to Canada, there's a lot of fantastic hubs. I can speak on behalf of Ontario because that's where I live. Like Windsor, London, Toronto are the big ones. Barrie's the big one too. Sarnia is kind of growing too. Ottawa. And then in Quebec, we have all in Nova Scotia. We get a lot of people in all the time. But it would be if you have a certain, if you can, if available, if you're not moving for family, if you're not moving for schooling, and you're just looking for a job because you like to make your way over, apply where the jobs are at. Right? Look where the jobs are at. Look where the market needs are. Look at the demographics. If you have a lot of automotive experience and you're looking for automotive jobs, don't go to North Bay. North Bay is so far up, like, there's not going to be anything. We have the battery plant coming here in Windsor. So if you have automotive experience, electric power experience, electrical engineering experience, look for what is being developed. Look for where it's growing. If you have a lot of manufacturing experience and you hear that there's some place in Omaha, Nebraska, in the States, and you're like, in the next 10 years, they're expecting, 10,000 jobs in the manufacturing sector, you're like, you know what? Be a good place to go to? Omaha, Nebraska. Because guess what they're going to have in 10 years' time? So many manufacturing jobs, right? And that would, if you can, is take a look at where you're going to move first and what there is. If a place is like here in Windsor, there's only so much engineering. Engineering is a lot further up north. So don't go to a place that doesn't have the skill sets that you need. And you can always move, right? Initially, there's moving. It's a lot. It's a hassle and it sucks. Trust me. I did it earlier this year and I'm pretty sure we just got done all the boxes. It sucks. But it would be before moving, see what there is. Get a look at the demographics, look at the education, look at the economics, look at all stuff like that before you move.
Yeah.
If you can get that information and if it's relatively available, see what there is. Because the last thing I would want someone to do ever is be like, you know what would be really gorgeous? This place, St. Catharines. St. Catharines is beautiful. It's gorgeous. I absolutely love being there. And then you get there and you're like, I'm ready to do, be a biolab tech. And there's not a bio lab at all for you to work at, you're like, well, this sucks. The nearest bio lab is, an hour and a half that way.
Wow.
Right? And that would be my recommendation is take a look at the job market, take a look at the demographics, take a look at the surrounding area, and take a look at where the jobs are at before you move. Because if you have the skills, but you're not in the right area, then it doesn't work out.
Yeah. So how do you think people can leverage social media to look for roles, for jobs, especially if they're outside the country or even here in Canada? Like how do you, like LinkedIn or like Indeed, or like how do you take advantage of those platforms to look for?
Big one, like the municipality, like the government pages, government social medias are big ones because they'll always tell you the big new development that's coming, right? when we had the battery plant here in Windsor Essex. $1.1 billion was the big number they threw on here. Government project, billions of dollars. We're like, okay, that's a headline.
Yeah.
I'm interested, right? So it would be fallen municipalities. If you're looking to a certain area, like fallen municipalities, follow the cities. Cities have like newsletters and pages and that level of social media. Follow that. Follow the like the local governments, the federal governments. That would be the first one too, right? And then start big. Start with the big government, right? And then work your way down. And then if you notice, for example, there's big companies like, Chrysler has a new development. So, okay, well, what is Chrysler doing? What is Chrysler going to bring? What innovations coming to Chrysler? You know, you follow Google, you follow all the tech companies doing things like this. And then you've moved from government to the companies. And then after the companies, you'll find who are some big key people?
Mm.
Who are the influencers? Who's the next Steve Jobs, for example, right? And then keeping an eye on people. So I would start big for social media wise, like follow the governments because they're the ones who are going to post like the big trends, the big demographics, the swings, and then move a little bit lower to companies because companies are going to tell you like about the innovations and the changes and the company levels and the new emerging technologies. And then who are those key people? Because the people are going to tell you what's the workforce, what are the like, and they're going to cover a little bit of everything. More on the personal side, like here's what my company is doing. Here's all the things. Here's what you can do as a person. So that would be. And I've given a handful of names and examples like that, but that would be my recommendation for the use of social media is get a scope for everything on both the macro and the micro level.
Nice. This has been an interesting conversation. Once again, this is a health and wellness studio. I am with Kenneth Etok Akman, and I'm having a conversation with Brady, and we're just talking about how to stand out in the Canadian job market, how to like get your dream job. So yeah, and it has been a very insightful conversation. I think I'm gonna go back and listen to this over just to get some insights, right? We are winding down, and I'll want to ask this next question. So what would you say is the major limitations for people not getting the role getting that job? What would you say is the major limitation for people not getting the job that they applied for, getting the role that they want to have in a company? What is the major limitation?
As kind of a bit of a funny point, go back to the beginning of the podcast and listen through. Right? Because we covered a lot of things when it comes to your interpersonal skills, your communication skills, when it comes to your technical, like go through and listen to each of those points because all of those make up you as a person, a lot of the interview process, right? Like if, you know, you can't tell stories and you're not personal, you're not honest, like those are the characteristics and the qualities that stand out the most. There's a joke like going back and rewatching a lot of it, but that would be a reinforcement. It's like just everything that I said before would be the big ones. Like, you know, be honest with the recruiters, tell your stories, let your experiences known, and truly don't get discouraged. In the end, don't be discouraged, because if you're applying, like I'll put a position like a mid-level position, not even entry level, you get so many things for it too. But you are one, especially on LinkedIn, you are one of hundreds, if not sometimes thousands of applicants, right? And that's 1,000 people. That's tens of thousands of words, and usually only a small team of people who are taking a look at it. Don't get discouraged. Try it. Try again. See how far you get. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from, and be introspective. If during an interview, you're like, I'm applying for auto manufacturer and they asked me about this and I couldn't answer that question. Go back afterwards, learn about that topic, teach yourself afterwards. If you're like, you know what, like I didn't greet him, like make sure you get your point. Like, cool, shake a hand. You didn't ask your question at the end of it, or you didn't know what to ask, right? Maybe having like two or three questions you can pull from at all times, right? It doesn't have to be the most innovative question afterwards, and you don't need to think of a new question for every interview process you go to, but having like good three key ones, and that would be like just learning, being introspective,
yeah,
understand that, you know, you know, everybody's great. I love people, but like people aren't perfect. And sometimes someone has just a bit more skill or a bit more technology or a bit more this, right? Yeah. And it's just, it's learning. If you get to the interview, it's hard for the initial screening because there's not a lot you can pull from the initial screening, right? You're like, was like my experience not enough? Did I not have all the keywords? Did I live too far? Did they just get tired because they've been clicking a button for so long that they're just like, you know what? I don't like this person's name, and they disregard it, right? Like, that's the hard part too when it comes to the initial part of it too. That's where you can probably go back in and hit some of those keyword searches to make sure your interview, your resume is being viewed by an actual person. That might help a little bit more at getting those keywords, because just it's scheduling the interview is the hard part, because like that's you never know. For the actual interview itself, it would be introspection, a lot of introspection, right? You know, you're people are good. You know some things, but you can always learn more. You can always do more. And if you are at a point of your life, you're like, I am the best I have ever been, and I am never going to get greater because I've hit peak perfection. You're falling behind, because everybody else in this job market is going to keep growing. And if you sit there, you're like, I am the perfect candidate, and anybody who doesn't agree is wrong. Right? That's not how that works, because you might not have done that great in the in-person one. So the in-person one, be humble, right? Understand that there's more for you to learn, and just keep trying. Keep getting out there. Keep trying. Keep doing more. And yeah, and that's probably for the previous one and this one. Be humble. Be introspective. Understand your faults. Learn from your mistakes. Don't go out of there and purposely make mistakes. But like, if you do make a mistake, learn from your mistakes. And for the online, trying to battle against AI, keyword searches.
Great, 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 great. Thank you so much, Braden. It has been such an insightful conversation with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so sure and I'm so confident that a lot of people are going to get a lot of insights and a lot of takeaways from this. And majorly, and hopefully, they're able to get the role that they desire for just listening to this podcast and just applying themselves to everything that you've shared. Thank you so much, Brady. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
This would be a little bit more for you, but I'll say it out there. If there's any interest for people, depending on if things pick up, whatever it is, depending on how well and how much people like this, if they have questions, you can always do like an answering people's questions next time.
Man, love it, love it. Thank you for that.
I think that'd be a little bit of fun, like a small little section. My biggest thing, I'm going to look at the camera when I say this for people, like, get out there, try your hardest, get out there and do it. Don't give up, right? Don't give up, don't lose hope, because there's always something out there. In due time, everything balances out. In due time, everything works out eventually. And it's just a matter of time before it gets to that point. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Because the moment you do, you start falling behind. Keep that fire inside of you. Keep that energy. Get that spirit going. Get that energy. Get your blood pumping and get out there. Because it's only a matter of time before you can do it. Wow. And the moment you give up is when it all falls apart.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Braden. Yes. It has been such an amazing. You sounded so much like a motivational speaker and a preacher, like just right at the end, right?
I was always told, I'd be like, that in radio, I was told, were like the two other professions I could have gone into.
Yeah.
I definitely have the face for it. I know I flew the camera on this time, but just does like that. But just motivation, radio, and I was like, you know what? I like helping people.
Yeah.
I love helping people. I love trying to inform people. Even if anybody from this just feels like 10% more confident, if two people go into the next interview and they feel better going into it because of just this little podcast here, I feel good.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much, Braden. Thank you. And to everyone that's tuned in or to everyone that is going to tune in later, thank you so much. I'm so confident you're going to learn so much from Braden. That's been an amazing conversation. So till next time, have an amazing... So, and sorry, before I go, if you have questions, you can always drop it in the comment section and I'll definitely take it up and like bring Braden right again to answer the questions. Thank you so much, Braden, for your time, and have an amazing weekend. Bye, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.